Dit is het tijdstip waar heel veel mensen naar hebben uitgekeken. En dat is Hour of Power, elke zondagmorgen om 9 uur. En vanmorgen een bijzondere dienst in de Crystal Cathedral. Met name omdat Nicky Croods spreekt. En dat is een heel bijzonder iemand. Hij was de gevreesde bendeleider die New York onveilig maakte. Totdat voor hem een kruis in de asphalt jungle kwam. En daar gaat hij over vertellen. En natuurlijk verder veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. En muziek en het koor, ja, daar is iedereen weg van. En wij ook natuurlijk. En we hebben hem een paar weken gemist, Don Noer, de begeesterde dirigent van het koor. Hij is in het ziekenhuis opgenomen geweest vanwege een ernstige hartcomplicatie. Maar is weer terug in de Crystal Cathedral. We hebben het gemeld aan u en aan jou. En hij heeft zoveel blijken van medeleven gehad. Ik ga niet zeggen wat er allemaal gebeurd is. Dat hij zei, ik wil graag zelf even aan Nederland vertellen wat dat voor me heeft betekend. En ik ga proberen om hem aan de telefoon te krijgen. Nou, ik ben benieuwd, want het is natuurlijk heel bijzonder om Don Noer aan de telefoon te krijgen.
Hallo.
Don, good morning.
Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Well, I'm fine and your voice sounds like you are a young man.
I feel pretty young.
Yes.
I'm feeling great, actually. I'm ahead of schedule by about 3 weeks, the doctors say.
Yeah, but I said you were in a very, very serious condition when you were taken to the hospital.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I didn't want to go, but my wife, Sue, and a doctor who was singing in the choir when I had the heart attack, they made me go to the hospital, and thank goodness they did.
Yeah.
Because we had quadruple bypass, and it's a very successful operation.
Yeah.
And so they gave me 20 to 30 more years. I can direct the choir now.
Good. Don, one of the reasons that you wanted to talk in this Hour of Power is that you got so many letters and other things from the Netherlands, from your friends in Holland.
Oh, I wanted to send a warm thank you to all our wonderful friends in the Netherlands for their kind and loving get well cards. I received so many of them. Even some sent a huge basket of fruit. But the cards were so loving. I was overwhelmed with the love from some people I knew, some people I didn't even know. But their thoughts and their prayers were so appreciated.
Don, we'll see you back in the Crystal Cathedral conducting that beautiful choir. And there's one question that we all have on our mind. 2 years ago, you were in the Netherlands with the Crystal Cathedral Choir. Now you're back up again and in good condition. When are you coming back?
I would like to come back as soon as possible. In fact, we love your people and we love your country so much. And you must always remember that after our tour, the Cathedral Choir sings to the whole world, but our hearts always sing to the Netherlands. We love you dearly, and thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Morning. We want to give you an opportunity right now to shake the hands of those who are standing next to you, behind you. Reach out and shake their hands and say, God loves you and so do I. Well, we have a wonderful worship service planned today. We have Jim Poit. He already taught you a new hymn, is that right? Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. And my wife, Donna, is going to be reading the scripture this morning. And we have a fabulous guest. His name is Nicky Cruz. He is a former notorious New York gang leader and the inspiring story behind The Cross and the Switchblade. Nicky, we're glad you're here. We have recording artist and devoted family man Russ Lee. And we have the Christ Cathedral Choir. And so this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Spirit is here in this place this very moment. It is transforming our minds and our thoughts. It's creating positive emotions, and it is giving us the ability to realize that you created us, that you love us, that we are yours. And so in this moment, as we stand in your presence, we give you our thanks, for you are truly a God of tremendous love and grace, and we love you. Amen.
Be seated. Good morning. As we continue with this morning's service, hear the words of King David as he continues to praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let the heavens rejoice let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we know that God will continue to bless us and continue to bless this service as we praise and worship him. And now the choir will continue with one of my favorite hymns, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark ever-failing. Our helper beyond the flood, the bottom is prevailing. For still our head shall fall, crossing to the cross of his wrath and power great.
The dark with golden rays, the earth is not his equal.
Did we make our whole strength confine, our striving would be losing. Did we make our strength confine, our striving would be losing.
Did we make our whole strength confine,
our striving would be losing.
Did we make our whole strength confine, our striving would be losing.
We have as our guest today a fabulous gentleman who I'm very honored to have here. Gang violence is a problem today around the world. And according to the 2004 National Youth Gang Survey, 173 cities have reported problems with gang activity. In Los Angeles and Chicago, more than half of the combined 1,000 homicides were considered to be gang-related. Today's guest, Nikki Cruz, is no stranger to that life. As the notorious leader of the violent Mau Mau's gang, Nikki Cruz once stalked the streets of New York City. Today, Nikki travels the world taking a message of hope and salvation to broken young people. Nikki's true story became a bestseller and a motion picture in 1969 entitled The Cross and the Switchblade. And the 40 years that have passed since moving to Christ, Nikki has reached out to thousands of inner-city gang members as he speaks to their need from his own experience. Would you please welcome to the Christ Cathedral, Nikki Cruz. Nikki. God loves you and so do I.
Thank you.
You know, backstage you said, don't look down on me. And I really want to honor that. So why don't we go over here? No. How's that? Is that better? Come on, if you stand right here, come over here.
All right, there you go. Robert.
Now we've got it the right way. I can look up to you, as I truly do.
Thank you. You're too much.
Oh, you're terrific. I love you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're here. I'll tell you what I love about you. I love your spirit and your soul. I really do.
Well, I'm so happy that I know Christ as my personal Savior. My life was very sad. I was born in Puerto Rico. I was born in a witchcraft home. My mother was a witch. I was planted in the wounds of a witch. My father was a satanic priest. And since I was 3 years old, I was abused, not sexually, but physically. And it was very painful because many times I used to wake up in a pool of blood. My nose was broken. My lip was split. My rib was torn apart. My eye was closed because of the beating. And it was very painful, very painful.
So you didn't know love growing up as a child, did you?
I began to hate love. There was no such a thing as love. Because when it did with a mother and a father, it seemed like the mother is more close. The father is the masculine image, the hero, but that mother had the feelings. And I felt betrayed in that time. And I wasn't the only one in my family. I have a big, big, large family, 17 brothers and one sister.
17 brothers, you said?
Oh, my father.
And how many sisters?
One sister.
And one sister.
Oh, my father believed in love. So when I was 9 years old, I came to the conclusion, because I could not handle it no more, to hang myself in a mango tree in Puerto Rico. And I was that close. And it was a force that I could not control, because for many years I lived in a curse. My generation, my father, and for so many generations, they was involved in sacrifice of animals, the drinkings of animals, Santeria, witchcraft, black magic. I was a loser in that kind of environment. So then when I tried to commit suicide when I was 9 years old, hanging myself from a mango tree, it was my little brother who really saved me. He was crying so hard. I never had heard a crying for a soul that was desperate to say, don't do it. And I'm happy that I never jumped or sell all the way down, because there's one thing I want to say. My mother can really took a pillow and just take my life out of this planet, because the way she used to live, I don't know what happened. When I was in the gangs, I committed a lot of mistakes. My hands were full of blood and I was cold, calculated, executed. Didn't care, they had no feelings. And yet through all of this, my mother, she can kill me. In the gangs, I was through showers of bullets. But there's one thing I know. The devil cannot kill me, because I was born to serve the Lord. And that was the total answer.
Now, the Holy Spirit was there when in the voice and the cry of your little brother.
Yes. What I tell you
about... You entered New York and you immediately were drawn into the gangs. What drew you there?
Hey, when you don't have a family, that physical family, which is so valuable to you, then here you come to a gang and I'm homeless, I'm sleeping in the street. I don't want to live with my family. I prefer to be called a bastard than to be called Cruz. I want no identification with that. So here I'm in the street running wire, and I lost my best friend 2 days before Christmas. He died in my arm with so many holes on his chest. And it was a type of situation that I was completely confused. Loneliness was like a seductive lady that used to come in about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and just press in and depress me. I feel anguish. I felt alone. and I felt that I was in a cocoon and despair, and I could not do nothing. And then I got mixed up so many times in and out of jail, and when my friend was killed, we retaliated, and the Mamas, which it was my gang, we killed two. And then I got busted, not because in that crime. And that was when the Criminal Court of Brooklyn assigned a psychiatrist, Dr. Goodman, to deal with my case. And I ended up put me in a famous hospital in New York called the Bellevue Hospital. Do you know that place? Thank you. I wasn't the only one that was there. Thank you that you were there with me. So Dr. Goodman told me, you are doing your finish, you're walking straight to jail, the electric chair and hell, and there's no hope, and there's a dark, dark side in your life that nobody can penetrate. But thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord moved in the life of David Wilkerson, a hillbilly, a country preacher, a skinny guy. He wasn't as tall and good looking like you, but that's... I'm a stray, okay? So that was the man. This was the man who brought the gospel, and the police told him, sir, they're going to kill you. If you walk into that war zone, you're a dead man, and you're going to force ourselves to bring your dead body out. No. Wilkerson penetrate. In the beginning, I went to attack him. I beat him up, I spit at his face, I call him every name in the X-book, and I told him, I don't believe in this thing, get out of this our turf, you don't belong here. And then he told me, I came over here to give you a message from heaven. Just three words, Nikki, Jesus love you. And you can go ahead and you can kill me and cut me in 1,000 pieces and you can throw them right down the street. Every little piece gonna cry out that Jesus love you, Nikki. You can never love, you can never kill love because God is love. And 2 weeks later, I fall into the arms of Jesus Christ and let him love me, forgive me, have mercy upon me, grace and hope.
What was that like? How do you describe the difference from where you were and what happened when you fell on your knees?
Well, it was in front of my gangs. There was 2,000 people there, and there was 12 different gangs in that time, and we all had weapons. So Wilkerson was naive in bringing so many other gangs. And there will be a big rumble or a fight. There's going to be a bloody fight. It seemed like Wilkerson lost control of the crowd, but then the Holy Spirit took over. And little than I knew, the crucifixion of Jesus, the last 2 minutes, that was really touched me. And that when I began to realize that I need help, that I really need help, that I need love. And remember, I buried Nikki Cruz when he was a little boy, 9 years old. I buried him. I said, nobody gonna hurt you no more. I'm gonna protect you, defend you. That night, I was 19 years old. I let that little boy out to be loved. By Jesus.
And what was that feeling like? How do you describe the change between...
Let me put it this way. It's like if you walk with me to a hospital, to the operation table, and there is my body laid flat on that operation table. I noticed that somebody walking toward me, but there's no fear in this time. There's no fear. I noticed that he came and I went with him. He closed my eyes, then he opened up my chest. He went deep down, pulled my heart out, and there I saw my breathing heart, and I saw all the hate, the bitterness, the loneliness, the despair, and all these rejections. And I noticed that he said something, spoke something to my heart, kissed my pains, kissed my heart. Then he let me know that everything's gonna be all right, put my heart back, close my chest, open up my eyes, and when I opened up my eyes, I was born again, I was a new creation. Now I have Christ in my heart. I let him love me because I never allowed nobody to get that close. And He gave me the greatest peace of all peace. I know where I'm going. I know exactly and precisely where I'm going. Jesus has made the way for me. That's the way it is.
There are still gangs today. There are lots of gangs. Yeah, almost every city has gangs. There are gang members listening to us right now. What do you say to them?
When I was in El Salvador, I talked to the president of one of the biggest, about 38,000 members in his gang. And he asked me for the section. So I went to see him. And I honestly believe that this sense of loneliness has disconnected completely from parents, from society, from everything. And I detect a tremendous loneliness. I do feel that the gang is going to sell out to terrorism. I do believe that they are moving in, and I believe that the organized crime in Central America, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, through Mexico, is going to be something that we should be careful. And I still believe, to answer your question, that Jesus Christ is the answer, that Jesus Christ is the hope. But they have to see Jesus in us for them to believe, because we have to be real. Christianity has to be a real thing, not a phony thing.
Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to look in the camera and talk to the gang members who are watching right now and tell them how to accept Jesus Christ.
I'd be very happy to do this. I would like to say this. I know you can make it. I know how to be trapped and feel like nobody cares, nobody loves you, lost. Living in an environment, either rich or poor or whatever, and being trapped by any habit that controls you, that possesses your mind, I believe that the attack of the enemy is to get through your mind and from there to believe all this lying. But the one who you have to watch out is your heart. Is your heart who do the execution. And there, your heart is a lonely hunter. There's a big hole right there that I have in my life that nobody can fill. Until you open up, be vulnerable. You got to be vulnerable to be loved or to love. And let Christ to come inside and to take over and to be the father that you're longing for, or to be the husband that you have lost. Jesus Christ is the answer, and Jesus Christ is the force that can heal your mind, heal your heart, heal your body, heal your family, heal your environment. And I tell you one thing, you will never, never, never walk alone, because Jesus will walk with you the last mile. God bless you.
Thank you, Chris.
God bless you.
God loves you, and I do too. God bless you.
Wat een indrukwekkend verhaal heeft die Nicky Cruz, de man die ooit de achterbuurten van New York onveilig maakte. De schrik van New York was en nu vertelt over de liefde die hem gegrepen heeft. En dat zie je over de hele wereld. Zoals vandaag dit programma over de hele wereld wordt uitgezonden, zo zijn er mensen gegrepen door die liefde. En Hans Dame is er een van. Hans, hartelijk welkom. Jij bent een van de mensen die zich inzet voor ons gebedsteam. Ik heb inmiddels 120 mensen aan mee. En 3 weken geleden hadden we die prachtige uitzending. Had ik Christel Cathedral, dominee Schuller, zei van: leg je gebedsverzoek voor in de kerk. En al die duizenden mensen die naar voren kwamen, het waren meer dan 2000 gebedsverzoeken. We hebben ook gezegd bij Out of Power Nederland, nou, als u een gebedsverzoek heeft, stuur het ons. Hoe was de reactie?
Nou, dat was wat ik verwachtte eigenlijk.
Ja?
Ik zei tegen mevrouw, morgen is bij ons, dan gaat het over ons heen, hè? Want als ik dit zo zie, dan zijn er een heleboel mensen die hebben dus het gevoel dat ze moeten komen met hun gebedsverzoeken. En die komen nu allemaal tegelijk, let maar op. Nou, mevrouw zei, nou, dat zal wel meevallen. Nou, we hebben het gemerkt, want ik heb in plaats van 1 dag, 2 dagen moeten werken. Om het een klein
je
beetje...
Je werkt als vrijwilliger, hè?
Ja, ik ben vrijwilliger, dus ja. Maar goed, ik zag dat aankomen. Ik was er zelf erg door gezegend, moet ik je zeggen. In de zin van, ik zag dat die mensen al die vragen gingen indienen daarbij... daar in de Kerstelijke Tirol.
Dat zijn geen vragen aan de dominee, maar eigenlijk vragen aan God.
Dat zijn inderdaad vragen aan God. Dat is zo'n intens beleven, is dat. Want die mensen die stellen die vragen uit hun hart. Die leggen dat bij de Heer neer. Hè?
Wat gebeurt er dan? Mensen sturen een verzoek in of bellen. En hoe gaat dat dan naar iemand van een gebedsteam?
Nou, dan gaan we ze selecteren, hè? Op volgorde van binnenkomst. En dan gaan we dus eventjes kijken wie het eerst aan de beurt is. Want je moet natuurlijk prioriteiten gaan stellen. En als dat dan gedaan is, dan gaan we daar gebedsverzoeken voor schrijven. Die we dus sturen naar de gebedsgroepen.
En overal in het land, hè?
Ja, overal in het land, ja.
Ja, prachtig.
De mensen kennen elkaar niet eens, die in die gebedsgroepen zitten.
En de mensen krijgen ook niet te zien wie het
is. Die weten ook niet wie het is. Het is heel vertrouwd. Ja, nee, dat
het komt terecht waar het moet zijn, boven.
Het komt terecht bij onze Heer. Ja.
Wat zeg je dan? Iemand zegt, ik noem maar een voorbeeld. Wat iemand schrijft een brief aan Hour of Power, zegt, ik zit met een verschrikkelijk probleem. Ik ben seksueel misbruikt. Ik weet niet meer hoe ik verder moet. Maar wat moet ik nou aan met God? Wat dan?
Nou, dan ga je bidden dus voor een totale genezing. Maar wat we ook doen, is bidden voor degene die het gedaan heeft.
Oh, ja.
Je moet niet alleen bidden voor degene die het overkomen is. Maar het is ook belangrijk dat je bidt voor degene die dat misdrijf gedaan heeft, om het zo maar eens te zeggen. Dus je moet proberen de hele zaak te coveren. En dan niet te veel op die zaak ingaan, niet te diep op die zaak ingaan. Maar gewoon proberen te raken waar het om gaat.
Ja.
Mensen die zijn dus beschadigd.
Ja. Wordt er dan ook teruggeschreven naar die mensen? Even voor je gebeden.
De mensen krijgen bericht dat er van een bepaalde tijd tot een bepaalde tijd met een groep voor ze wordt gebeden.
Ja, want het is niet één
maar
keer,
er staat niet in wat er voor ze gebeden wordt.
Het is niet één keer, er wordt voortdurend.
Ja, ja. Er zijn ook
geloof je dat God gebeden verhoort?
Zeker.
Ja, zeker.
Ik weet het zeker. Ik heb dat gevoel
zo. Hoe weet je dat zeker? Ik heb dat gevoel toch niet? Ik kom toch geen briefje
uit. Oh, maar je krijgt zulke heerlijke brieven terug.
Ja?
Van mensen die zeggen, jullie hebben toen voor me gebeden. En dat is er gebeurd. Oh, prijs de Heer. Er is wat in mijn buik weggehaald. En de Heer zei dankt, maar er waren geen uitzaaiingen. En ik ben genezen. Nou, dat zijn zulke heerlijke dingen.
Ontroeren de brieven je soms?
Oh, hou maar op.
Zit je erbij te huilen?
Ja, ik zit erbij te huilen. Er komt zeker met een gebedsverzoek binnen en er staat dan boven wie de afzender is. En eigenlijk niet al te veel. Er staat boven opa Kees. Opa Kees noemt hij zichzelf. En dan zeg ik, wil bidden voor opa Kees. Nou, er zullen wel meer opa Kees zijn, hè? En dan schrijft hij in een paar regeltjes, bij mijn dochter is een dood kindje geboren. Wil u voor me bidden dat ze weer gauw zwanger mag raken en dat we dan weer een levend kindje mogen krijgen? En dan denk ik daarover na, dan schiet de traan in mijn ogen, want ik denk bij mezelf, die opa Kees, die noemt zich al opa van het kind wat nu overleden is, die verlangt er ook zo naar. En die neemt dan nu de moeite om eventjes dat verhaal te schrijven, eventjes wat hem op zijn hart zit. En hij eindigt met vriendelijke groeten, opa Kees.
Hans, ik heb naar je zitten kijken en iedere keer naar datgene wat je op je revers draagt, het kruis.
Ja, het kruis van onze Heer. Hij heeft al onze zonde gedragen, hij heeft de zonde weggenomen. Als je... Nee, ik hoef daar bijna niks aan toe te voegen.
Hans, heel hartelijk bedankt dat je hier was. Ik vond het geweldig wat je doet als vrijwilliger. En leuk is dat jij ook in de komende weken te zien bent in het kersttoernooi. Want je bent ook vrijwilliger in dat grote koor wat gaat zingen onder leiding van Jan Mulder. Dus ik moet even tegen de mensen zeggen dat er niet zoveel, maar nog een aantal kaarten zijn. En concerten in 5 steden. Het wordt geweldig.
Power organiseert ook dit jaar 5 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van topartiesten.
Oh Lord, my God.
De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez, die zijn warme stemgeluid regelmatig laat horen in de Crystal Cathedral, komt speciaal voor Hour of Power naar Nederland. Ook de bekende pianist Jan Mulder, veel te horen op Classic FM, zal zijn prachtige composities ten gehoor brengen. Met zijn orkest het Mulder Consort begeleidt hij de artiesten en het koor The Cathedral Singers. Ook zal Idols-finaliste Angelique als solo-artiest optreden op deze 5 onvergetelijke kerstconcerten. U kunt hierbij zijn op maandag 11 december in de Laurenskerk te Rotterdam. Op dinsdag 12 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. Woensdag 13 december in de Sint-Theresia-kerk in Eindhoven. Donderdag 14 december de Bethelkerk in Drachten. Vrijdag 15 december in de Apeldoornse Lolaankerk. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 7:45. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035-538-0588.
That love is blind, it's never afraid, it's patient and kind. And I've heard it said, love's all you need, and that it's a many splendor thing. I've heard people sing of love first sight, of how it's so wrong and how it's so right, how it lifts you up and it lets you down. Oh, but I have found that love is a cross, and love let it be, and love the blood and the nails, a body so bruised, a holy heart was broken. That's how he chose to prove that love is a cross. Peace is like a rushing river, and hope is paradise. Joy's an
Thank you, Russ. We appreciate you. We appreciate your music. We love your spirit. Your family's doing something unique, aren't they?
Well, we've been traveling literally this year around the world. It's been our goal this year to give away concerts and ministry in as many third world countries as we can. So we've spent 5 months out of the country. 3 days ago, we were in Fiji. Before that, Samoa, Papua New Guinea, and then a short stop in Australia. Before that, a month in Africa. So God's opened some great doors. We've been on every major continent. and in about 30 states this year, mostly as a family, because I want families to know that the mission field is something that the family should embrace. So we've been giving up vacations to go on the mission field, and I think my kids are better for it. So it's been an amazing year in our house.
Well, Russ, God bless you. And just continue to sing and praise God. We love you. Thank you. Many of you will remember that a few weeks ago we had a prayer Sunday here. And we invited people to come forward and share their prayers. And I made a commitment to sign and to pray for everybody who came that day and gave us a prayer card. Well, this week I fulfilled that pledge. I held every single one of those cards in my hand and I prayed for every single name. I prayed for about 2,000 people this week. Isn't that amazing? 2,000 people requested prayer. And there was two things that kept coming up over and over again. And they were almost neck and neck. I didn't keep score. I didn't take the time to do that because that's not important to me. But the prayer requests come in almost equal, and that is health issues and finance issues. Isn't that interesting? People are struggling with the finances. And if you go and you read the Bible, you discover that Jesus cares about our finances. He talks about finances a lot. There are many scriptures that talk about how to deal with our finances and how to handle them because they are of grave concern to many people. Jesus said, "It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." And as a result of that, there are many people who believe that you cannot be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven because they say, oh, it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they pick up a sewing needle and they say, how can a camel get through this? Well, I've traveled a lot to the Holy Land and I've done lots of archaeological studies. In fact, my major in college was ancient civilization, which incorporated a lot of archaeology. And one of the things I discovered is that the eye of a needle is not the needle of a sewing needle as we know sewing needles today. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have sewing needles as we know them in the time of Christ. I don't know that answer. But what I do know is what a sewing needle, what a needle is. If you go to an ancient city, it'll always be surrounded with a huge wall. And then those huge walls are there to protect the city from invading armies. And those cities have giant gates, huge gates. And those gates primarily remain closed all the time. But within those huge gates, which are opened only for special occasions, they have the gate which is open to allow normal pedestrian traffic to come and go. And it's a small door within the big gates of the city. So the door is typically about that tall and about that wide. And it's not unusual for it to have a board across the bottom, so it's more like a window. So a pedestrian would literally have to step through, and then on either side, as he's stepping through, are the guards of the city with their swords drawn if they need to be. And at that point, you're in a kind of a compromising position, you might say. And in such manner, they protect the city and they control the traffic that comes in and out. Horses don't go riding through there. But it is possible for a horse to maneuver his way through that little gate. And it is possible for a camel to maneuver his way through that gate. It is not impossible. It is not simple. But it is possible. And those words are spoken very profoundly by Jesus Christ when he says, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. What he's telling us is that it is very difficult for rich men and women to enter the kingdom of heaven. And why is it difficult for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says later, to whom much is given, much will be required. And if we look at our country today, if we look at who we are as a nation, we realize that almost every single person in America today is rich by world standards. We have a poverty level. Every country does. The UN and the World Bank has established various poverty levels for various nations. So it depends upon the nation whether or not you're at a poverty level. Extreme poverty, which is worldwide, is considered income of $1 a day or less. Did you hear me? That's considered extreme poverty in the world today. $1 a day or less. How many people are there in the world today who live in that position? In 1990, there were 740 million people who fit that category. The goal of the UN and the World Bank is to cut that in half by the year 2015, in which case there'll only be 360 plus million people living in the world in 10 years from now, if we can reach our goals worldwide of reducing extreme poverty. $1 a day. Now, how rich do you feel? How rich do you feel? How many people here think they might be very rich from the world standpoint? You can raise your hand. It's okay. I think I'm talking to a lot of people who would consider themselves very rich by poverty standards of the world. If that's the case, this scripture speaks to you. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Those words are intended for us, ladies and gentlemen. Those words are intended for us. Which means the next words are also intended for us. To whom much is given, much will be required. And so there is extreme requirements that we have because God has blessed us so much. What does he expect from us? He expects of us simply to do what he asks. Not a lot. He doesn't expect a lot. He just expects us to do what he asks. He doesn't ask for a lot. He asks us, first of all, to be willing to give of our soul and our spirit. To give of who we are to him so that we are first and foremost recognize the fact that we are his child. That he created us. Secondly, he wants us to give thanks to him in all things, because so often it's so easier for us to think, oh, if only I had that or that, and it's never enough. And so I think he wants us to stop and be thankful for what we do have instead of simply complaining about that which we don't have. Because I promise you, 99.9% of the people in this room could think of something more. The bathroom needs to be painted. The car needs new tires. Am I right? We're all there. We can always think of something more. God wants to stop and thank him for what we do have. Then he wants us financially to give. He doesn't want us to give everything. He doesn't want us to give out of our excess. He doesn't want us to give when we have more than we know what to do with. He wants us to give from our poverty. Because at the same time we recognize that we're rich, we also recognize that we're poor. And the richest men in the world can often feel poor because they have so many bills to pay. How am I going to take care of my chateau in France? The staff there is 50 people. Oh, man, I've got to pay for all those. You laugh, but it's true. Money and wealth is all relative. So God doesn't wait until we have excess to bless us. He wants us to bless him out of our poverty, no matter where we are, no matter what kind of bills we have to pay, to trust in him and put our faith in him and say, okay, Lord, I understand the equation. It's not higher mathematics. It's really quite simple. 10%. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He gave us 10 fingers just to make it easy. So you might have if you have a problem with mathematics, it's this simple. Put up your hands. Okay, put up your hands. It's this simple. Okay, now what belongs to God? Okay, just see if you can do that. I mean, this is really hard. 10%, that's it. That's 10% higher mathematics. Okay? He says, bring the tithe to the storehouse and put me to the test and see if I will not bring out such a blessing upon you that your storehouses will not be able to contain it. And the word is blessings. Remember that it is blessings. It's not showers of money. Because if you can't be happy in your poverty, you can't be happy in your wealth. It doesn't work that way. Everyone knows that money doesn't buy happiness. It helps. But you don't buy it. And if you need more finances, I mean need, God will supply them. He's true to his word. He says, I will supply your every need. The Bible is true with it. The important thing for us today is to be able to recognize the calling that God has given to us, the talents and the gifts. I've got something here I want to read to you from Paul Bryant, the coach of the football coach from the University of Alabama. Here's what he said. There are four types of football players. There are players who have ability and know it. There are players who have ability and don't know it. There are players who don't have ability and know it. And there are those who don't have the ability but don't know it. Then on he said, the one that makes you the proudest is the one who isn't good enough to play. But it means so much to him, and he puts so much into it that he does it anyway. We have a lot of those. The ones who have ability and don't use it are the ones who eat your guts out. How many people today have been blessed with the ability and they don't use it? To whom much is given, much will be required. And when we trust God and we live the way he's called us to live, then we learn to give back. So we need to learn to give back. We need to realize that First of all, we have to use the blessings that God has given to us. Use the money and love people. And never the other way around. Never use people and love money. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the ability, the determination, the will, the strength and the ability to give out of our poverty. And when we learn this wonderful principle, we will truly realize how rich we are. And so we thank you, God, for your blessings, for your touch, for your joy, for your hope, for our future, and for your goodness. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen. Next week and experience the presence of God here in this place. And so may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your heart and renew your spirit and stand and walk beside you today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
En met deze oproep van dominee Schuller, Anthony Schuller, sluiten we deze uitzending van Hour of Power af. Iedereen heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. En die oproep van hem om te doen wat je kunt. Wie geeft wat hij heeft, is waard wat hij leeft. En te woekeren met je talenten, dat blijf ik toch altijd geweldig vinden. Denk erover na wat je voor die ander kunt doen. De kersttijd komt eraan en er zijn zo verschrikkelijk veel mensen alleen. Als je denkt, die ander doet het wel, dan heb je het mis. Want die ander doet het net niet. Dus sta klaar voor die ander. Dat is een geweldige opdracht. Hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Graag tot volgende week. En we zijn blij met ieders enthousiasme voor Hour of Power.